Dermot and Dave's.
Mind yourself now. Mind yourself now.
Mind yourself now.
Mind yourself now.
Dermot and Dave's. Mind yourself now. On Today FM.
Life can be tough sometimes. It's hard work. Feels like it. Certainly does on a Monday sometimes, doesn't it?
Well, you're staring at me again for the 795th time in 15 years.
You're hard work, Dave. So we developed this segment to make things a bit easier for you and give you a hand with stuff that sometimes you may feel like you do need a hand with. So stuff for your mind, stuff for your body, stuff for your spirit. Today we are talking to an expert on anxiety. We're talking to Fiona Brennan. She's a clinical hypnotherapist and founder of The Positive Habit. And obviously an expert in this area. You must get a lot of people coming into you with symptoms of anxiety. Do you, Fiona?
I do, Dermot. Absolutely. It's actually the most common thing that I deal with. And I think we're dealing with a little bit of an epidemic in terms of anxiety levels. I think it's really important to sort of stress, pardon the pun of stress, but the difference between anxiety, let's say, and everyday stressors, which is something that we all have, of course, in terms of challenges, especially Monday mornings
and all of that.
But when someone's actually really dealing with heavy anxiety, chronic anxiety, it's a very different thing. So I think when, you know, somebody wants to share that fact, and because we're looking so much at getting rid of stigma around mental health, etc., and someone will say, you know, oh, I've actually been suffering with anxiety. And what can happen is, you know, a well-intentioned person can say, oh, me too. And all of a sudden, anxiety is something that we all have.
Right.
But the truth is that there's a big difference between chronic anxiety and someone who's just a little bit anxious, you know, about an interview or a presentation or something, which is completely understandable.
Wouldn't it be the case that anxiety is an important important ingredient in your life, in the sense that it stops you from blindly walking across the road because you need to be anxious about the traffic? But when it becomes, as you said, a chronic thing where it is having a major impact on your quality of life, then it's an actual issue that needs to be dealt with.
100%, Dave. Yeah, it's like Mark Twain said. He said, I've had a lot of many worries in my life. Most of them have never happened. So anxiety is something that's very much within our imaginations.
Yeah.
So it's not actually relative to what's happening in the real world, if you like. But that doesn't take away from it. And I think that's really important as well, is how the subconscious doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. So therefore, what you imagine is just as real to you. So it's kind of honoring that. And I think really important to work on, you know, different steps to start to manage it rather than to try to just want to get rid of it immediately.
Yeah. Because sometimes it can be a small worry that just snowballs over time, and then it becomes a real issue. There's a text that says, I'm 31. I feel like I'm not living my life because of anxiety. I have three kids and I'm constantly waiting for the worst to happen. They are perfectly healthy, but I'm fearing the worst all the time. Even with myself, the smallest pain I get, I'm so worried. I would love to hear some coping mechanisms to deal with the horror that is anxiety. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, that's really, you know, I do come across that a lot, and it's really, really a hard one, because we love our children so much. So even just a little idea of something happening to them can send anyone into a spin, to be quite honest. So what I would say there is back to what I'd originally said, which is that a lot of that is in the imagination. You know, the reality is the children are healthy and well, which is fantastic. So with the thought, for example, the first thought that might come in there is, you know, oh God, what if Jimmy or, you know, the child falls off their bike and then they're knocked down, or wherever the sort of catastrophizing goes, is to work with that very initial thought. So you kind of capture it almost like a, you know, a butterfly in a net, and you keep it there. And how you manage that very initial thought is how you start to actually take away from the overwhelming sense of it going into a spiraling, snowballing situation.
Right.
So I would say to, first of all, accept the thought. That's the hardest part to do. Believe me, it's just saying, it's okay that I thought, you know, that I had that thought. It's a very uncomfortable thought. It's not a thought anyone wants to have, but it's actually okay that I had that thought. And what happens then, as soon as you do that, we've gone from acceptance to, from resistance to acceptance.
Mm.
And when we resist something, obviously, it tends to come back stronger.
It gets power,
exactly. So just by simply accepting it, the thought has a chance then to sort of settle.
That can be quite a difficult, the whole thought process of actually stepping back a bit and observing your thoughts is quite alien to most people, who just the thought comes in, the thought sits there, oh, you go crazy, and then it goes away because you've got the kettle's boiled or whatever, you know. So
totally.
That idea of pausing and stepping back and going, what is that thought? Is it okay to have that thought? You know, that's quite difficult.
It's a good point. Absolutely. I appreciate that. And it is a good point. But it's a skill that you learn. Mm. So if you have anxiety, it sounds like this lady really does when, you know, it's to that level. It's a case of learning the skill of how to manage it. And I would say, even before we get to that point of the thought, it's managing the physical. Because when you have chronic anxiety, you're going to have a lot of physical symptoms. And they're the things that can be very terrifying. So in order for to get to the point where you're talking about, Dave, which is to even have that awareness to stop and to pause, is through the breath. So the breath is our best friend. It's always there. You know, we're always breathing. We may not be aware of it, but we are. So tapping into the breath and breathing deeply when that thought comes in actually counterbalances the power of the thought. It's very, you cannot actually get into a really anxious state when you're breathing very deeply. So even that simple thing of take a really deep breath, slow it all down, brings you to that place of being able to be aware.
And that's breathing down into your tummy as opposed to the top of your chest, which is kind of where you go when you're anxious, and that kind of,
yes, exactly,
you know, that's sort of shallow. But if you can focus on breathing down into your stomach, doesn't that tend to get you slowed down?
It's very intentional. It's like you can imagine even a balloon in your belly that needs to be filled. So you breathe right into it, very slow exhale, and that just calms the nervous system down.
And wouldn't there also be a kind of if you were able to kind of intercept that thought, maybe a positive spin on that is, I'm having this thought because I love my kids so much.
Yeah,
you know that,
absolutely.
Like, I'm not having this thought on someone. Oh, I hope that person I don't know over there doesn't get hit by a car. It's coming from a place of love.
Absolutely, and that's a really good point. Exactly, and a lot of anxiety is there from the intention behind it is not awful or negative. Mm. Quite often it is, as you say, from a place of love. So tapping into that love and then applying all that love to yourself, which is the whole idea of self-compassion. And that's another area that I really think is important to move on to from acceptance.
Right.
Is that you start to sort of be kind to yourself. It's okay that you have that thought. It's understandable. And the self-compassion is something that, once again, really soothes that anxiety down very, very quickly by being kind to yourself. Mm. You know, it's, as you say, Dave, it's coming from a place of love. So if it's coming from there, why get more frustrated or angry with yourself? Because I see that a lot with people with anxiety is quite a lot of people don't realize, but it's very linked to low self-esteem. So if you have a lot of anxious thoughts, your confidence tends to go very, very low also, you know, because you're constantly doubting yourself, you're questioning yourself. So by actually applying this principle of self-compassion to it, you are then, you know, soothing the sort of your self-esteem, and your confidence levels will remain at a healthy level.
Mm. What you mentioned there, the physical aspects of anxiety, because I think a lot of people mightn't think that they are suffering from anxiety, but suddenly they start to manifest these physical symptoms and they go, what's happening here? It makes them more anxious because they think there's something really wrong with them. Mm-hmm. So just interesting one here says, about anxiety, I constantly feel off balance as if I'm walking on a boat, and I get problems with my vision as if I'm watching the world on TV, along with all the usual anxiety symptoms. How can I go about fixing this before I go mad? Because I think some people, because you don't know what's happening, you can think that, God, I'm actually losing it here, you know.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And the symptoms, like you said, your subconscious doesn't know the difference, but your body doesn't know either.
Yeah, well, it's the subconscious within the body, without getting too deep, pardon the pun again. But yeah, it is a sense of how the physical takes over there, Dermot. So you're in a sense, people can suffer sort of vertigo symptoms and a sort of surreal feeling that they're not quite connected into the world. And that is because of the sort of rapid thought process in the mind that is having the effect on the body. So it's back to what I was saying earlier in terms of breath, you know, that when you feel that kind of, because it is very, very unnerving, you know, to feel off balance. It's a case of bringing back the awareness, you know, sitting down for a moment, doing your deep breaths in that moment, and sort of tending to yourself with love and care. And what's amazing is what happens is that you start to manage the physical rather than the physical managing you. And another thing I'd say about anxiety, a lot of people with it will always, quite often, not always, but will overestimate the fear and underestimate their ability to cope with that fear.
Right.
So it's sort of by slowly learning from experiences. You know, for example, say this individual here that texted in, when they feel off balance, if they can even just once, you know, go through that little process of breathing deeply and then record that in their mind and say, oh yeah, I was in town. I did feel overwhelmed. It was really busy. I kind of, you know, just took myself off for a moment. I managed to get to a place where I was calmer and acknowledge that progress. It's really so important to acknowledge any tiny little steps that we make, because what that does is it starts to build up confidence, and the physical, the body is learning. It's like you're teaching the body that it has the capacity to calm itself down.
And you're removing the power, because for me, I think of anxiety, I think of it's projecting the catastrophe into the future that may or may not ever happen, probably won't ever happen. But even if it did happen, how bad would it really be? Mm. You know, and it's that kind of thing. So it has all this power. Mm. And as you said, once you can kind of, you know, defeat is probably the too strong word. Once you can cope with it once, mm-hmm. then you can cope with it again.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden the coping becomes more real than the actual thing you were anxious about.
Yes, and the brain is a muscle, so you're training it.
Yeah.
It's not just, sort of wishful thinking. It's actually a skill.
Well, that's one of the things you mentioned, the breathing thing. I meditate every day, and I have to say I find that a huge help in that kind of area in general when you're feeling, you know, overwhelmed by something, that if you can take literally 10 minutes a day and just find yourself, get into the practice of doing it, whatever, there's a million different types of meditation, but whatever one you'll end up finding works for you. I think the repetitive nature of that is really helpful. When you do feel overwhelmed, you can kind of go, well, I'm so used to being still, being quiet, breathing deeply, scanning your body, whatever the one you do, whatever, it's not an unfamiliar thing then to try and ground yourself in a moment and go, hang on, I'm feeling totally overwhelmed here, but I'm familiar with this kind of scenario.
Yeah, so you're quicker to tap back into that that energy. Absolutely.
Now, what about anxiety in kids? You know, we would think that our children should be perfectly happy and everything seems to be fine. But sometimes kids just seem to have anxiety issues, and it could be in and around bedtime or it could be around school, or it could be around visitors coming to the house or any of that kind of stuff. We did get a few texts and WhatsApps in about that. What advice would you have for parents who are maybe, you know, have small kids who are displaying symptoms of anxiety?
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very difficult. But the thing I would say, to be quite honest, is we need to look to ourselves first. What kind of energy are we giving as parents? Mm. Because quite often, children are like little sponges and they pick up. And it can be something, it's not even intentional. It can be just that you're busy and you're rushing. And they don't have that sort of cognitive ability to see the difference. So they're learning that to sort of live in the world, we need to be busy, we need to be rushing. So they start to pick up on that and they start to think, well, I don't have time to put on my shoes. I don't, you know, so this is where the anxiety comes from. We need to go, we need to go, we need to go. So a lot of the world that we're living in, it has that kind of energy behind it. So it's a case of you know, working on yourself to be as calm as you can. Because when they're very young, if you're talking about young children, they are looking up to their parents completely as role models, and they're just soaking it all in. Also, their subconscious and their conscious minds are merged. So, you know, that's why the power of the imagination is so beautiful, you know, that everything is possible. And that's great, but it's also how it can work in the negative. So it's a case of tending to yourself. It's almost like, you know, the carer needs to care for themselves. The parent needs to parent themselves, to look after themselves. And then it's sort of what will happen sort of more organically, rather than too much focus on the child, is the child will then start to kind of pick up on that nice calmness from you.
Right.
And then they start to see, okay, this is what it's like to be an adult, or, you know, this is how to be in the world. To be honest, it does depend on the age of the child. If you're talking about teenagers or something, that's obviously different. But with young children, I would say the greatest gift we can give them is us being in a very good, calm place.
And they are very receptive as well, you know, to the tools that you suggest to them. I know for my own kids, one in particular who was getting that anxiety around nighttime, going to bed, it just seemed to kind of kick in around 6 or 7 o'clock. Mm. But like really receptive to relaxing music on YouTube. There's stuff that's there for kids.
Yeah, there's great stuff. Yeah.
You know, making sure they're not looking at screens after 6 p.m. Because they just get too excited. You know, baths help. And they actually, they like that evening routine. themselves, you know,
yes.
And you can actually see it start to work. So I think little, they're
yeah.
very receptive to those little tools you can teach them early on, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, providing a sort of structure and safety and, yeah, being sort of consistent with it, I think is important.
Would it be the case that anxiety in, if I mean, look, it's so hard to kind of encapsulate one answer into anything, but
yeah.
that anxiety is something that can be worked on and a solution can be found, you know, you just need to figure out what your solution is. So whether that's talking to somebody like you
mm-hmm.
or just, you know, trying some meditation or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is. But it is something that can be
controlled. I would say 100%. 100%. And that's why I am delighted to be here, because I think it's really important to get that message out of hope. That this is, there is a lot that can be done about this. Mm. And it's not just me saying it. You know, we've got a lot of science behind it now that we didn't have in the last, you know, say 20 years ago, that we now know so much more about how the brain works on a neuroscientific level. So it's a sense of getting the message that, yes, of course, with the right tactics, with the right, you know, approach, there is a lot that can be done. You know, I've seen significant improvements in people who were in a really, really low place. And it's a case of the conscious effort and the subconscious. So it's getting the two merged together.
Brilliant.
Your own website is thepositivehabit.ie?
That's right, yeah, yes.
Thepositivehabit.ie.
.com.
Yeah. Thepositivehabit.com. It's Fiona Brennan we've been chatting to, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of The Positive Habit. Thank you for dropping into us. We can't wait till you come back in the next time.
And
loads of reaction in from people. So if you do have a question on anxiety that you'd like us to put to Fiona off the air and maybe come around to it the next time she's in, 087-4100-102 is the WhatsApp and text.
Amber says, will you be podcasting this? My anxiety has caused me to stagnate in my job and my life and to be constantly short-tempered with my children. I can't take it much longer, and of course I'm too busy to listen right now. So Amber, yes, for you or for anyone else who you think might benefit from this, it will be podcast up on todayfm.com, and you can listen back at a more appropriate time or maybe let somebody know about it and you think it might help them. Fiona, thanks so much for coming in.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's Dermot and Dave on Today FM.